Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We got 24 and a half more minutes left to go on the show today. If you want to send us an email, the address is comments@afr.net. comments@afr.net. Tim with Ray. And now Steve Paisley Jordahl joins us.
Good morning,
Steve.
Everybody. How are you doing?
Pretty good, my friend. How are you?
I'm well.
So, you're rocking the flower.
Yeah.
Flower pattern?
It's a little tight flower pattern, and it's a short sleeve shirt. You said the other day you never saw me wear those.
I didn't know you had skin on your arms.
I do.
You.
It's.
I've never seen your arms before.
They're buff.
You're looking good, Steve.
Thank you. Thank you, Ray.
Yeah. So you waited till October to pull out the short sleeve shirts, huh?
Yeah. Apparently.
Yeah.
I'm not much of a.
I don't know what that means.
Weather dresser, but yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you don't care about. You don't look at the weather to decide how to dress.
Well, yeah. Here's what. So 15 years in Colorado, I'm kind of immune to the cold, right?
Right.
And the only time I have to worry about any weather, cold or hot, is between the car and the office because we're air conditioned in here.
Right.
Air conditioned in my home. It's just not that difficult.
True. So. By the way, how many years did you spend at Focus on the Family there?
I was 10 years at Focus, 15 years in the Springs, Colorado Springs.
Okay. And what did you most enjoy about living in Colorado Springs?
I loved the outdoors, the mountains.
Did you hiking. Hike a lot?
Oh, yeah. There's just tons. And this is amazing. Grew up in California, and you rarely went on hikes in California, even though there's beautiful hiking places. But Colorado has a... It's in the DNA to be outdoors in Colorado. It's just so gorgeous.
Did you ever hike up Pikes Peak?
I never hiked up Pikes Peak. I did take the Cograil up Pikes Peak. We had a,
took the what?
Cograil. It's a train that goes to the top of Pikes Peak.
Not a train that goes up. You're talking about a train that goes up the side of the mountain?
Yeah. Well, it zigzags. But
zigzags, yeah.
Yeah. It's called a Cograil. Basically, I think because it doesn't have a motor like an engine on the train, it's pulled up by like cable cars do.
Mm-hmm.
It's pulled up the mountain by chains. But
is it still there today?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You ever done that, Ray? You've been to Colorado Springs many times.
I have been to Colorado Springs. I don't think of what did you call it? A cog rail?
Cog rail. COG.
I've heard of it. Yeah.
There's and one of the best workouts, which. Would kick my butt every time I tried it. There's a cog rail that they had up the side of a mountain that they didn't finish, and now it's just stairs. It's called the incline, and I don't know how many feet, but it's straight up, and it's a long ways, and it's like the Stairmaster on steroids, trying to climb in that, and at altitude too. So,
what's the altitude of Colorado Springs?
It's about 7,600. I'm sorry, about 7,000, between 6 and 7.
And then if you climb into the Rockies,
8. Where are you familiar with? What's the ministry up in Summit Ministry?
Right, Summit. Right.
They're in Manitou Springs.
Manitou Springs is up the mountain. They're at about 8.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah.
So the people of Manitou Springs, they look down on the people of Colorado Springs.
Oh, Manitou Springs is like Berkeley or Santa Cruz in California. It's where all the hippies went after the 60s. Manitou Springs has a very healthy alternative lifestyle population there.
You're saying our friends at Summit have their work cut out for them.
They're in the middle of a mission field.
There you go.
I would call it Weirdo Central.
Yeah, that could be too.
I haven't driven through there, but I'm sure there are not a lot of nice weirdos.
All right, so this is the Manitou Incline. It's 2,744 steps, a 2,000-foot climb, straight up the mountainside.
You did that?
Well, I got about halfway up.
What happens when you get halfway up?
You have to go down. It's not easier going down. You stop, you rest.
Heart attack.
Yeah. But also,
you do a Jinsaki?
Yes, circle back.
Right.
If you can.
Circle back.
But, yeah.
Wow. Okay. One other question on this, because this is very important. Wow. I'm looking at this. You've seen, it's called the Manitou Incline. Ray, he's talking about, so that looks, so you go straight up the mountain.
Straight up the side of the mountain.
But here's my question. So your body tells you halfway up that it's not wise to go on.
That's right.
Or you can't go on.
Right, you're done.
you're done. Then you turn around and go back down.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I mean,
good night.
You can go both ways.
Are you looking at that, Ray?
Good night.
Are you looking at it online there, Ray?
Yeah, I am. Oh, man.
It goes straight. It doesn't.
Straight up. That is.
Does it go straight up? It doesn't wind?
Nope. Straight up mountain.
Oh, my God.
Well, yeah. What if you miss a step and take a fall?
Oh, they're big steps. I suppose. I mean, it's not so steep that if you fall, you're going to tumble down the mountainside.
Right. Man.
And they're big steps. They're like railroad ties.
Right.
Good distance between each one of them, so.
It's a good workout. It's what we're saying.
Man.
Real good workout.
Okay, so a couple times when I was there, I saw people running up and down the incline with weighted backpacks to get a good workout. Hmm. People are crazy.
That's just wrong.
They have an annual race. They have an annual race in Colorado. It's from Manitou Springs to the summit and back. I think it's Manitou Springs. Anyway, they have two of them. It's almost the length of a marathon, but it's up the side of a mountain to the summit of the Pikes Peak. And they have the first day, they have one that goes one way. And the next day, there's a different race that goes up and then back. And the same for 20 years, the one guy would win both races, run them 2 days in a row. Up the side of the mountain.
Yeah,
why would anybody do this?
A marathon is like 26 miles, right?
Yeah, it is.
Well,
yeah, I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I don't think I would ever, even if I were to be reincarnated, I don't think I'd ever be called to do that.
There's no calling like that on my life.
I roomed with the long-distance runner in college who was on the track team, 1500, and he said he hadn't had a good workout until he'd thrown up once. So they are a little crazy.
And Steve, you said a couple words here that probably don't need to be used on Christian radio.
Exercise?
Now you said B-U-T-T.
Did I?
And you said T-H-R-O-W-U-P.
Yes.
I'm not saying it's a sin.
Okay.
I'm just saying that. Probably need
I to. Apologize to all the 10-year-olds out there.
I think rear end would suffice, and hurl would be one that would work.
Upchuck? Right. Is that?
I think upchuck. I don't need that visual either, but anyway. All right, moving on to more important pressing matters.
Yes.
What do you got for us, Steve?
Did you guys hear about the story about Congressman Jamal Bowman of New York late for a vote at the Capitol? This was going to be on one of those spending bills, and he pulled a fire alarm and evacuated the whole building. Now, it was in the Cannon Office Building, which, as you know, is where the senator's offices are, not in the Capitol itself.
Right. For clarification, the Cannon Office Building is House members only.
Yes. Okay, I'm sorry. Yes. Not senators. Yeah.
The senators and Dirksen and Ray, I think Rayburn, Dirksen at least. Anyway.
And so he's a member of Congress and he has his office, but he was trying to get there. And so the suspicion was that he wanted to delay the vote because there's a fight over spending. The Democrats wanted to put more in. And then, of course, you guys already talked about the fight between
McCarthy and Gates
about. And that was about funding bills as well. But what I think was the really funny thing is his office sent around talking points to
whose office did?
Jamal Bowman, the congressman who...
Democrat
congressman who pulled the fire alarm.
Yeah, let me just say this about that before you talk about his response. Congressman Bowman, is he from the state of New York? Where is he from?
New York.
Okay. He is a hardcore lefty, all right? And they were going to vote in the House of Representatives on a spending matter. And he pulled the fire alarm. And then he said he thought he was opening a door, right?
Due to confusing signage, he says, an honest mistake, he pulled the alarm in an attempt to open the door. I've seen this alarm. They've got pictures all over the place. There's nothing confusing about
No, he's Pinocchio, okay? That is just garbage. And why he thinks anybody would believe him is beyond me. He pulled that fire alarm because he wanted to delay the vote, or either he got upset or angry. The fire alarm I saw that they said he pulled says is a big red thing that says fire. I mean, there's no mistake in that.
Not much confusion about
that. If you're going to mistake a fire alarm for a button that opens a door, you need to get out of Congress, okay? Because you're stupid. All right, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, but
I was told not to use that word growing up on the radio.
Okay, I just used a word probably that I shouldn't have used. But, I mean, the guys.
It's not credible. It's not.
There you go. That's a good way to put it, Ray. Yeah, don't try to make us believe you were hitting the button to open a door when it says fire and it's red. Now, he should get some kind of disciplinary action because, listen, you pull a fire alarm, and it causes everybody to panic. It causes the fire department to activate. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a serious matter, and I think he did it on purpose. So I guess they'll find out about it. And did he interrupt a official proceeding? Because that's what January 6th was about. You remember?
Yes, it wasn't in the Capitol building, and according to him,
it was in an office building.
It was in the office buildings. According to him, it did not.
But he says the Nazis are out to get him, right?
Well, this is the thing. He sent around talking points, so he wants all of his colleagues to say the same thing. This is what you can say. Here are some suggested talking points. It is an extreme reach on the part of MAGA Republicans to assert that Representative Bowman intended to harm or destruct anyone or anything. The exact opposite is true. He was trying to do his job. Here's a talking point. I believe this is what they want the other members of Congress, the Democrats, to say. I believe Congressman Bowman when he says it was an accident. Republicans need to instead focus their energy on the Nazi members of their party before anything else.
When you're completely caught, quote, red-handed. Yes, I said red-handed. Red fire alarm.
Yeah, there you go.
Then what you do is you pull out the Nazi card.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, and he.
I got nothing.
He issued. An
you're a Nazi.
He issued an apology. He said his staff wrote it without his knowledge.
His staff wrote that. What you're reading from?
Yeah. He said that I'm sure that he approved the talking points, but not individually.
Calling
he
people says Nazis.
Well, he says he didn't pull the fire alarm on purpose.
And yes, you did.
And that the use of Nazi was incidental. But anyway, they got about seven or eight talking points. It really will be interesting. I don't think I'll have time to do this, but to go back and see how many times these lines were used by other members of Congress and by the media. Because we all suspect they're all getting talking points when they all come along with the same line at the same time.
All right, next story.
All right. Another kind of a sad thing happened in Washington, D.C. to another congressman. This was Henry Cuellar of Texas. A member of Congress was carjacked at gunpoint in D.C. in this...
yesterday, right?
Yep, in the Navy Yard neighborhood. I looked it up, Tim, and you're right. It's on the south end of D.C., right on a river, not the Potomac, but one that flows into it. And apparently it's a pretty... upscale neighborhood, but he was carjacked. Police are searching for three suspects described as black men wearing all black clothing in connection with the carjacking. The police said in an alert, the stolen vehicle was a white Honda CHR, and it has been recovered. So members of Congress are not immune.
I would say this to everybody. You need to be aware of your surroundings, Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's happening is these carjackers, these thieves, they're seeking vulnerable people out, right? And what they're doing, they're moving beyond the inner city, they're moving to the suburbs, and further. And to nice neighborhoods, because that's where the expensive cars are. And that's what happened to this fella here. And, you know, this congressman from Texas, Democrat, he got carjacked. But people are they're following people home, okay?
Yeah.
By they, I mean the criminals.
Carjack, yeah.
The gangs, the carjackers. They're in L.A., it's a real big problem. In Chicago, it's a real big problem. In suburban areas, these people watch them come out. They come out of a store or whatever. They go through an ATM or whatever, mm-hmm. and then they follow them home, right? You read about this? It's a real
look,
problem.
It's happening. It's happening in every city,
yeah.
including some cases right here in Kansas City, and some cases not very far from where we live. And I would say to anybody, I don't think that they targeted this man because he was a congressman.
Right.
They saw him as a target of opportunity. It's a man by himself.
Right. That's right.
And they moved in fast and they stole. I mean, thank God he didn't get shot.
Right.
Thank God he didn't end up in the hospital or worse. Right. So I'm trying to circle around, Tim, to the really large point in today's world. Know where you are.
Right.
What do they call it? Situational awareness. Yes. Keep your eyes open at all times.
Head on a swivel.
And it's not just there's a lot of mob violence right now. We've talked about the lootings and everything. Tell you, there's a video on my Twitter feed right now about a motorcycle gang. And one of these guys, these yahoos, got off his motorcycle and got to the back of a car and jumped on the back and just decimated the back window. It broke the back window. Mom, this is she's a Uber delivery driver, I think, Uber Eats. Anyway, she's got her two kids in the back seat.
She
jumps out of the car and starts getting in the face of this hoodlum who had dropped a gun, picked it up, points the gun at her. She doesn't care. He tries to headbutt her with his helmet. She is really mad. I mean, I would be too. My kids are in the back of the car. You just stomped on the back window. Scared him to death and probably may have hurt him. She shoves him over on his motorcycle and gets in and drives off. I mean, that's a brave woman right there. Standing up for her.
The video that is on the internet,
yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yep.
I hadn't seen the end of it. I seen the part where he kicked in the window.
Why did he, any reason why he?
Just being a yahoo.
He gets off his motorcycle, then he smashes in the back window of the car.
Yep. Then drops a gun, picks it up, and there's mom.
Mom
is not happy. Tries to headbutt her.
I don't understand. Anyway, it's crazy world out there right now.
There's a lot of anger and a lot of weird. And the other thing that I'm seeing is, whereas the store employees of the people that are doing the looting, they can't.
Stores are closed. A lot of stores are closing too.
But a lot of just Joe on the street, just guys on the street, are starting to track these guys down and not let them get away with their loot.
Listen, I went into Walgreens the other day, right, in Tupelo.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I couldn't get something. I was just something every day, you know, some cold medicine or something like that. I said, I had to go get a lady who worked there to come open it. I said, why is this locked? And she said, well, shoplifting.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Now 95% of the store was open and it wasn't behind glass, okay, the products I'm talking about, under lock and key. But I'm just saying, now I'm reading where in a lot of towns, almost everything's behind lock and key. You read this in stores.
Mm-hmm. Well, the shoplifting is out of control. I mean, we see these videos I saw one just over the weekend of door bursting down in some store and 15 or 20 hoodlums come in and ransack the store. And for whatever reason, nothing is done to stop them. We're living in that kind of world. Okay. Again, Tim, just keep to say to our listeners, pay attention to where you are. Keep your head on a swivel. That was a really good phrase you used.
Next story, Steve.
All right. Hey, I bet you're excited. The new COVID-19 vaccine is out. Yay.
I'm having a COVID vaccine party.
There you go.
Tomorrow night at my house.
Well,
can't wait. It's kind of like a watch party, you know, Super Bowl party. Ours is
COVID-19?
The new COVID vaccine.
It wouldn't be the first party of its kind, let me tell you that. But all don't bother inviting the Florida Surgeon General.
Really? Why?
No, his name is Dr. Joseph Lodapo, and he says it's a terrible idea. It is a major safety concern. It is anti-human. He is having none of the vaccine, and I want you to hear from him. Cut 7.
They were previously under emergency use authorization. Everyone knows that the clinical trials were stopped early. We've learned many new things about safety since that time. And at this point, most of them have full approval, but it's really full approval in name only. The safety of these vaccines is just so much worse than any other widely used vaccines. The reality is that these vaccines absolutely increase the risk of cardiac injury. And it's actually way beyond the myocarditis that you hear about. There's even something called subclinical myocarditis. And we were supposed to have data on that by now, but Pfizer got an extension on the data deadline from the FDA. You know, it quietly got a 6-month extension on that.
That you were listening to the Surgeon General of the state of Florida.
Yes.
What's his name?
Is Lodapo.
So he's not a fan of the new vaccines.
He is not at all. Dr. Joseph Lodapo. Yeah.
Okay.
And so I've been reporting a little bit on this. There's other experts, doctors, that are very concerned about the side effects, the potential effects.
At this point, listen. I could understand the first wave of two of COVID. Mm-hmm. I could understand getting the COVID vaccine, the shot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because now we know a lot in hindsight.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm talking about at the time. Right. You got the shot at the time, right? You got one of the shots.
Exactly.
Anyway, millions of people got it, especially older people, because the COVID virus was going to the lungs for a lot of people and killing them. Are causing them great stress, and I had two friends that died, and then I had one associate here who works with me, one of my good friends here who works here at our ministry. He was in the hospital for like a month, almost passed away because he was in his late 60s, and the COVID went to the lungs, right? So I'm just saying it was a lot scarier during that first wave or two. Then you get past that. The COVID now that's out is a cold or a flu.
It's
over in 5 or 6 days.
Much diminished, but
so what I'm saying is I don't see the danger, the life threatening danger to take a vaccine, which has not been tested, which has some dangers in and of itself. Right?
There's a lot of people There are some people who are saying that the government and the organization, like the World Health Organization, the United Nations, are pushing the vaccine so hard now because they just want to keep. Compliance.
Well, it's not working.
Well, right. I reported yesterday on this show that they have made an aerosol version of the.
How does that work?
They can spray. You can like an inhaler. Hey,
you got that living on a yacht story thing? Boat?
Yes. All right. This is a couple in Australia, grandparents who decided they wanted to book 51 back-to-back cruises, 500 straight days on a cruise boat. You know why?
Why?
Because it was cheaper than a rest home, cheaper than a nursing home.
Are you serious?
Yes.
It's a great, great idea.
I know, right? I do
a
it.
A year-long cruise.
So down the road, hopefully.
500 days is what? 2 years.
A year and a half?
Yeah.
A year and a half.
Wow.
Well, I might look in
cheaper than a rest home.
So when my kids want to put me away at a rest home somewhere.
Put me away on a Norwegian cruise
line.
I'm
going to tell them they need to check me out.
Right?
500 days on a cruise boat, right?
That's right.
All right, Ray, thank you.
You bet. Thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Our thanks for you, folks, everybody listening to the program today. Hope you have a great Tuesday. Rest of your Tuesday. We'll see you tomorrow.